Oh, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Get on with it. Toppy, toppy.
It's Blackham.
Hashtag fuck headers.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and down.
Well done. Bye bye.
Come on.
Evening, everybody, and welcome to A Burkamp Wonderland. It's not a good one. We will now talk through the Desmond we got with Watford. Joining me on this, I can't think of, like, what's the opposite to superlatives?
Just unsuperlative.
Unsuperlative. Well, Danny has broken the fourth wall and introduced himself already. So Danny is here. Say hello, Danny.
Hello, John.
Thank you.
Ask the other bloke does that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And as he's already said hello to you, hello, John.
Hello, Josh. I'm not even saying my own name. I can't do it.
That's your dirty protest.
Yep. That's my dirty protest today. And no Jason Davies today. I'm sorry. I know you all wanted an angry Welshman ranting. Trust me, he probably would have actually liked to come on today and moan.
He is probably so angry. He's just powering a small Welsh town for the next couple of weeks with just his anger.
Just the steam coming out of his ears.
Yeah.
But he has changed his ways, hasn't he? He left the WhatsApp group a magnificent 5-second message, which we are all hoping is the future of Jason Davies messages, wasn't it, Josh?
Absolutely.
Do you want to tell the wonderful listeners what that message said?
I think it was white noise, wasn't it?
It absolutely was.
Let's go to the chat box because we always like to see you guys in here. Big shout outs to J Rob and Michael Hanneman, and Daniel Kupka has come in as well with some Czech krona. I don't know how much that is.
That's Danny. About £1.71.
Probably enough for a pint of milk. Yeah, just saying hello, well done. Well, that was a bag of shite. See you on Thursday. Keep up the good work. Well, I assume the good work is to us and not to the team because it was awful. But I can see Archie's in there. We've got supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
You nearly had that.
I should have picked easier ones to say. Formerly Noser. Paul Alvis, K-Man 1867. Oh, Akeeb is in there. Fresh from last week's podcast. I can see Alonzo Spencer's in the box. Pete Coulson. Of course, J-Rob is in there. Is it Mike? We're going with Danny. Mike, not even going to try the surname. And Renry, I can see in there as well. As always, give us a like and subscribe. And you'll remember at some point when we go live, when Danny's not going to the toilet. So let's talk through the game because we have to. It's what the podcast is going to be on. John, do you want to talk us through the lineup?
Yeah, I guess. Defence, I mean, it's as it is at the moment. No one else is really available, so there's no big surprises there. Was a little bit disappointed to not see Woolock start, to be honest, especially after he signed his new contract, but I actually think Emery made the right decision in the end with that. He got that one spot on, to be fair. Nice to see Ozil back in the team, finally playing again. Wasn't his best performance ever. But to be fair, there's quite a few players today you can say that about. But it was just good to see him back in the team. And it was interesting to see how we were going to line up because with him and Ceballos in the side, it looked like it was a diamond, but it got a bit disjointed at times. But I just thought with that much creativity, we've only got Aubameyang because of no Lacazette because of his injury, obviously. I was excited to see what those two could do together for feeding bullets for Pepe and for Alba. And quite attacking, considering that, you know, we're used to Emery being not necessarily negative, but a little bit sort of cautious first whenever we play an away game. So, yeah, I was quite looking forward to the game, to be honest.
Yeah, and then the game kind of happened, didn't it? I suppose.
Yeah, pretty much.
Lightly. Danny, were you surprised to see Mesut back in? I think there was a stat that this was his fourth away game he's played for us since November. not really sure if Watford counts as away, but technically, I suppose.
I was. This is the very, very, very furthest north he will go. We always say he won't go further than the north than the Watford gap, and that's what he managed to do today. Just barely got him there by the skin of his teeth. And I think if it wouldn't have been for the injuries to Lacazette, we wouldn't have seen him play. But it's interesting to see where Emery did ask him to play. And I think he did all right, because it's his first game back. A couple of times he fell over, which is not really his fault. He didn't get straight back up and get running straight back into the game like he should have done. But I can't I can't really fault him. He's, you could see the vision, the ideas that he had, but in the second half, he was lacking a little bit. But it's nice to see that he was getting really deep into our own half, getting the ball and bringing it up, which was so you can't really fault him on his display. And he got a second assist out of it. I think he was the least of all of our problems today.
Oh, I don't know about that, Danny, but I'll get to it in a second. Let's start with the game. With the kickoff, it's kind of an interesting start with the new manager coming in for Watford. Did you kind of expect us, Danny, to be as much on the back foot as we were, the way that Watford attacked us?
Did you say me then?
I did say Danny.
Oh, I'm having a problem with my things. They keep twisting and turning. We've had another donation from Blair Slater. Angry Slater out. We've had a drunk Slater in previous shows, and then he just goes Slater out. So thank you very much, Blair, for that. Have you said thanks to the other three? Because I was adjusting my headset.
Earbuds. I did indeed. You can say thank you to them again, because it's going to be the only positives we're getting of this show.
Oh, well, it's Michael Hanneman, J Rob, and there was one other one that's going to refresh up.
Daniel Kupka.
Oh, yes, of course it was. Daniel Kupka. You can swear, Daniel, if you want. We give you permission. If you donate, you can swear. Or you can swear anyway. There's fuck all we can do about it. On the back foot, I think, how much do you want me to go into? Are we just glossing over this before you get onto the rest of the show? Or
no, this is we've started, Danny.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're live. We're on YouTube.
We do. I know. We do a few little points at the beginning of the show, and then we get in more in depth as we go on, don't we?
Oh, yes.
John's deleting stuff. He's in a bad mood. So, yeah. Was I surprised that we had on the back foot? Yes, because they've got a new manager. They've played four games this season in the league, lost three, drawn one. They've only scored a couple of goals. They've been quite shit all season. They got their main sledgehammer. He wasn't playing. A few other players weren't playing. They've got a goalkeeper in from a championship side. And I thought we would go there and beat them 3-1. But with the absolute car crash that is our central midfield, with people not knowing who's doing what, this bullshit of standing on the edge of the 6-yard box and then the goalkeeper giving it to one of those two, when Leno is more than capable, as we saw in his time in Germany, of playing the ball out from the back himself. If you want to give it to anybody, give it to Luiz, who can ping a long pass somewhere. And when we did resort to doing the goal kicks, it just ended up getting to them. And at one point in the second half, we did the goal kick, went to one of their players. They had 8 consecutive passes, went to the edge of the box, and I think they were offside, barely offside, and they got the ball was... Then we got the ball back. But the whole central midfield thing was a disaster. I don't know why playing Xhaka deep, getting... Because when the two central defenders get the ball, they give it to Guendouzi, comes deep, gets the ball, passes it around. Then Xhaka slots back into that slot. And then Ceballos will go out to the left and Guendouzi will go out to the right and Guendouzi will go all over the place. And then we had the stupid substitutions of... They made absolutely no sense. And why Torreira isn't playing there in the central midfield in the first place, which is his bloody job. So there you go. It's just absolute nightmare. The front lot were okay. Pepe was doing his usual wonderful magic, and then Aubameyang, you can't really fault. But you just look at that midfield and you go, what the hell are you doing? How many times did Maitland-Niles give the ball away? 3 or 4 times? And that was just in the second half. And Kolasinac was the only one of our defence who I think had a good game, and he's not even a proper defender. Some of the runs he made were magnificent. And then we had Willock and Nelson coming on, and they had a nightmare. They shouldn't have just bothered.
Well, John, let's go into the detail of the first half. As you say, we had that kind of dodgy spell right at the beginning. Took us a while to find our feet. Pepe, I think, in the first half, was it me or did he look lost out there?
A little bit. And I think, again, it comes down to that formation, because we look to have started with a diamond, and Pepe supposedly, I guess, in this system would have been playing up with Aubameyang, but he didn't look comfortable in that position. You saw him constantly drifting back out to the right, where he's a lot more comfortable taking the ball. And again, you keep seeing flashes from him, and it's a weird one, because I want to criticise him, because obviously we've invested a lot of money, although it's over time. And you want to see some return from that. And you can see bits of his play where he drops a shoulder, he beats a man or two, and you can see he's got pace and stuff. But then other times you get the ball and you just sort of stand on it and not move, and you just think, just run at the man, because, you know, Holobas, of all the fullbacks in the league, is one you can really get at and who will make terrible challenges and is likely to get himself sent off. And we saw, obviously, a flare-up in the game between the two of them. But I don't know. I just think whilst he's bedding in and trying to get his confidence, I just wouldn't fuck about with his position too much. And I know it's difficult because Lacazette is out, but make Ozil play wide and play a 4-3-3, or make Ceballos play out there, or, you know, start with Nelson or something, you know, just to, if you're going to put Pepe in the team, I think for right now, until he gets his first goal or, like, you know, first clean assist, then I think you need to let him play in his position where he's comfortable, try and get a better understanding with Maitland-Niles, and then just let him play from there. Because he did do some really good things in the game, but playing sort of, you know, as a striker, it really didn't work out for him today.
Josh, John was just saying then that we should have played Mesut on the left. Now, when you look at how we started off the formation, we would go on the right-hand side, where Maitland-Niles would only go up to the halfway line, and then he'd stop. And then you think, well, we've got nothing down there because he's not doing the interaction with Pepe, who was playing on the right-hand side. Then down the left-hand side, we'd have Kolasinac. He'd go from the halfway line onwards. So we had the whole left-back doing nothing, and then the whole right side doing nothing until Kolasinac got the ball and put it over to the right-hand side. And every single time, that was the play. We didn't build up the play from the right-back going forward to the right mid-right wing. It was always left-hand side, cross to someone, cross to the right-hand side of the field, then Pepe to do his magic. So, like John was saying, what would you have done, Josh, by on the left hand side? Because that was a huge hole where, unless Kolasinac left the entire defence out stranded, we had no one going down the left hand side to do anything. And the same, we had no build up from the right back. That's crazy. We're only using, out of the four quarters of the pitch, we're only using two of them.
I totally agree on that kind of point. We were just too narrow. That was the issue. And we saw it kind of through most of the game. You're talking about the overlapping fullbacks. Let's go into the first goal, Danny. With, you know, what I could best describe as almost like a Bergkamp turn from Aubameyang. talk us through it and how that kind of goal builds up.
This time I did take notice of the goals. It was a foul on near the manager's dugout, a foul there on their ginger one. I know you had a moment of silence for him, but yeah, he went down and they were all going, "What? It's a foul. Oh, what's going on?" And we went, "Fuck that." Kolasinac went, "Bye." Woof. Off he goes, flat out, runs through the entire of their defence while they're still moaning about the fact that they didn't get the free kick or the foul, or they didn't get anything from it. People moaning that we should have gone back and looked at VAR. And then he just laid it off to Aubameyang, and Aubameyang put it in. And you think, oh, well, that's what Aubameyang is there for. And it's been so long since we've had that. Someone do the quote marks. I'm too fat to lift my hands up. The fox in the box. Yeah, thanks, John. And then, he put it in. And you think, oh, that's magnificent. Because we were so, as people put in the chat box, we were on the back foot until that point. And every time they had an attack, we thought, what did they have? Three or four decent shots at a goal by then. And I thought, they're going to go and do it. And then Aubameyang was just magical. So that was one, like I was saying before this, which is why you came onto it, the build-up from the left-hand side. Normally, at that point, you'd have expected a Kolasinac just to then get someone in the middle and then put it out to the right for Pepe to do his magic on the right, which I think may have confused them. But also, we'd kicked one of their players and shoved him to the floor, which is why we got away with it. It was brilliant. And that's the kind of finesse that you get when you supply Aubameyang with balls that he needs.
Yeah, absolutely. John, do you have anything on the first goal? Should we move on to the
I mean, this the one shining point of the team right now is Aubameyang and his form. You can go quiet in a game, and he did in the second half, and to be fair, it's not really his fault they didn't get the ball to him, but you can have spells of 30 minutes where he doesn't touch the ball, but if you give him that ball around the box or inside it, he's electric. And that, just the first touch and the turn and just instinct, knowing where the goal is and putting it away, is so good. It's funny to think that I'm sure there were times last season where I was complaining about Aubameyang and saying, should we maybe sell him, although he's had a good season, because of his age and everything else, maybe he's starting to go downwards. But if anything, he's made me look all right, Mike, as to be fair, most players do when I criticise him. And explains why I don't know a lot about football, to be fair. But it's incredible to see his form that he's in. The question is, though, what happens when Lacazette comes back? Because if Aubameyang just keeps banging in goals, I mean, do you still put Aubameyang back out to left, or do you leave him up top? It's a really weird one. But yeah, no, great goal and just nice build up. But you can't give, it's weird in the game. As good as that first half was once we got the first goal, I think it was partly down to some individual brilliance, but it was also down to the fact that Watford gave us too much space in that first half.
Yeah, definitely. And certainly the kind of them sitting off us as well helped us get that second goal. And Danny, there was some build-up on the right for you with Maitland-Niles with the assist for this one. Do you want to talk us through the second goal as well, which was a bit more free-flowing than the first?
You're picking on me to describe the goals. You know how bad I am at this, but I looked and I watched. So, yeah, Maitland-Niles down the right-hand side doing a bit of trickery, and then he gives the ball to Ozil. Is that, yeah, and then Ozil sees that Ozil manages to do that time like Doctor Strange pauses time, has a good look round, because this is the ability that Ozil has, because he's fucking magnificent at seeing vision of the game, just it doesn't always apply it. And then he looks, and I don't know if he manages to go and move, go over, pause time, move a few of the Watford players to make them all now put everyone off onside. And then he goes and he puts the ball through to the to Pepe, and Pepe slides it across to Aubameyang, who has now scored two goals from a grand total of 6 inches out from the goal, which is absolutely fantastic. I'm thinking at that point, wow, that's fantastic. They're working together. Ozil has got some kind of synergy after one game with Pepe, and he's seen what everybody is doing. And then 2-0, think, oh, here we go. Going to get another one before halftime. Going to go on and win the game 6 or 7-0. Probably, hopefully, 11-0. Then that will take us up to second place, but that's not what happened, Josh.
No, it wasn't. John, should we talk about Mesut? Because he had a role in that goal. Do you think, I might leave this for later, but actually, no, screw it, I'm going to say it now. Did we have to shoehorn him into this side and for it to be the detriment of everyone else?
I don't know if it was to the detriment of everyone else, but yeah, it felt kind of shoehorned because of having him and Ceballos in a team. They're not exactly the same kind of player, because obviously Ceballos, you see his work rate coming back, and he did some really, really good work tracking back today, and that's not what Mesut's game is, but his vision on the ball was undoubted. And I think it's a case of, we're away to a team that's in terrible form, really struggling at the moment. We know we're firing up front, at least. Ceballos has come in, settled in really well, and Mesut needs minutes, and he wants to get him, you know, up to full match fitness, because he clearly wasn't there today. So It does make the team slightly more awkward. I think there's an argument for you saying, okay, well, if Mesut plays, do you not start Ceballos and you start Torreira instead, or Willock, or one of the others, or you start someone and play a 4-3-3 rather than the sort of diamond that we played, to make it a little bit easier for the rest of the team? Because there were times when the midfield did look a little confused as to who was playing exactly what position. Like, Guendouzi and Xhaka seemed to change on who was playing as the deepest midfielder at times, and that wasn't always clear. And I think when you play that diamond, if you're going to do it, everyone has to have very disciplined roles. This is your job. This is what you do. You do not change from this. And that did cause us issues today. And I think when you put Ceballos and Ozil in the team together, that will cause problems. So you could argue that Ceballos is as much shoehorned in as Mesut is there. But he got his, you know, as Danny said, his second assist. But again, I think it's good play from us. It's nice build up. I think it was like 20 something passes in the build up to the goal, which is really good to see. But again, I think if you ask Kike Sanchez Flores, that goal is down to Watford just standing off our players and giving us way too much room.
Yeah, definitely. So the final kind of things I've got on the first half, we had a fight, John.
That is not a fight.
All right, fine. Do you want to talk us through the handbags with Hollybast and Guendouzi and Decore and Pepe?
I've seen toddlers have a better fight than that, to be perfectly honest. That was pathetic. I only saw it like in real time, and I didn't see the replay, but people have said that Hollybast like lent his head in towards Pepe, and that's why he got yellow carded. If that happened, then fair enough. But when I saw it back and he was like booking Guendouzi, I was like, okay, I get booking Guendouzi, and he like pushes him a couple of times or whatever. I was like, I wasn't sure what Hollybast had actually done. I didn't think he did anything wrong. And if anything, I'm confused as to why Pepe didn't get booked. I mean, I'm not complaining about it. That's good for us, I guess. But it was really weird. I was like, Pepe kicks out at him, Hollybast got annoyed, Guendouzi pushed him, and then those two get booked and not Pepe. So, yeah, weird thing. It's just one of those things. I think the referee did the right thing, tried to calm it down, just dish out two yellows, let everyone get on with it. But, yeah, I guess it was a highlight in the first half at least. But the weird thing was that, we're under so much pressure for 20 minutes. We score the goal, and then Watford kind of collapse. Get the second, we look like we're cruising. I thought, okay, we'll get into second half. We got that little scare at the end where Watford could have scored. I think it was De La Feu who had a good shot. But after that, I thought, yeah, we're cruising. Get start second half, come out, just start with a nice bit of energy, get the third goal, game's put to bed, you can take some players off, you can take Ozil off, you know, he's had his 50-minute run out or whatever. You can take Aubameyang off, save him because of injury worries, obviously because we've got Lacazette out, you know. But instead, we went and fucking shot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, definitely. Do you want to talk us through the Cleverley goal? There wasn't a lot clever about it.
No, I mean, fair play to Watford. When they came out second half, they were really at it, like straight away. Delafeu had been causing loads of problems all half, all in the first half anyway, against Maitland-Niles, who didn't have a very good game despite getting the assist. I thought, I don't know whether he was ill or if he wasn't fully fit or something, but he didn't look as quick as he normally does and he wasn't as aware. But it just, they came out with so much more energy and belief than we did. And we just kind of came out lazy and walking. And they were just at it straight away. And then we'd already seen, I think, Guendouzi twice had given the ball away in really dangerous positions around our box from this new stupid fucking rule with the goal kick. I don't know what Socrates is doing. Like, it's happened twice. We've had some really dangerous situations. Why are we still doing the short free kick thing?
Is all it right. A rule that you have to do? Do the two
No, you don't have to do it. You can do a normal goal.
And then I just get it and kick it out as, like you could before. Yeah,
because he did after we conceded the goal. But the thing that disappoints me the most about it is, so it's happened a few times already in the first half. You would hope the manager at halftime says something to him and says, look, I want you to keep playing. This is the way I want you to play. But, look, they're closing us down very quickly. They've got their foes closing down really quickly. They brought on, I don't know if Sar was on by that point, but you've got another really quick forward on there who's going to close you down quickly. If that danger presents itself again, because we've got ourselves in these dangerous situations, just clear your lines. Don't try and pass it out. Don't try and be clever with it. Just, you know, sometimes you just got to clear your lines. And Socrates, a player with his experience and the amount of game time he's got, not just at Arsenal, but internationally and at Dortmund, should know better. Just clear the ball. That pass is not on. I mean, the attempt at the pass was dreadful anyway, but it really, really was not on. And just that it's so, so bad. And fucking Tom Cleverley as well. God, yeah. Do you remember when Man United fans used to rave about him? Absolute dog shit.
I remember his stint at Everton as well.
It's so embarrassing. And the thing that annoyed me more about is, it's like, okay, it's an individual error. It's not a team thing that's gone wrong there, so maybe you can say, okay, it's not the manager, it's just the player who's done that, and Socrates is a complete twat for doing it. But the whole team then just completely collapses, and there's just no one in the side who goes, okay, look, you made an error, you fucked up, fine, okay, let's just get back to how we were playing in the end, like second half of the first half, get control of the ball, keep it, move it around, tire them out a bit, get that third goal, and it'll be done. That's it. And instead, you know, we completely bottle it. The team falls to bits. The midfield doesn't know what they're doing. Defence starts to look worse and worse, and it just lifts Watford even more. I know you get a new manager bounce and everything, but, you know, technically, can you get a new manager bounce from a guy who's already been a manager at the club? I don't know. Does that count?
Should we ask the resident? Oh, God, the team has left my brain. The Italian side that always changes their manager, Palermo.
Oh, yeah.
Danny's a Palermo fan.
Do you know where they are now?
They're in the fourth division, aren't they?
Palermo last season finished third in Serie B, almost went up. And then for financial irregularities, they got relegated to Serie C. But then you have to, every season, you have to apply to stay in the league. So they applied to stay in Serie B, my mistake. So they got relegated to Serie D. And they got six players.
So, you know, it could be worse. But would you... John, were you saying about Socrates and not playing the situation? What about Leno in that? You know, he plays the pass to him. The goalkeeper can reckon he can play that pass. What do you think goes on? Because I don't think we saw a single long goal kick from Leno.
We saw a couple after that goal went in, where he clearly just didn't trust the defenders anymore. But the other side of it I also don't understand is you've got two centre-backs, one who is much better on the ball than the other. Why are you not just giving it to David Luiz every single time? That makes no sense to me, because you guarantee if there's one thing David Luiz can do, he's absolutely lever a ball up the pitch. And generally, he can actually hit a player as well with that pass. So I don't understand why it's been given to Socrates in the first place.
Would you apply that to also bringing the ball out from central midfield, from rather than Guendouzi having to come from the right into the middle, pick up the ball and take it out? Just let David Luiz get it from the goalkeeper, any situation, and then him pass it out, because like you were saying, he's brilliant at passing the ball around.
It would make more sense to me. I think it's harsh to blame Leno, because that's clearly the manager's instructions, is to play it out from the back. And there was a few times where there was a putt, like the final pass wasn't quite there. There was one Guendouzi did, which was just a little bit overhit for Mesut. And if we'd done it and played it out from the back perfectly, we've just cut out like six Watford players. And there's like four of our guys against like, you know, three defenders. So there's obviously a game plan behind it. And as the managers, as the manager tells us to do that, they're going to stick to it. But Leno clearly took control after that goal was conceded, because I think he took the next three and just kicked them all long, which, to be fair, didn't help us either, because we immediately lost possession because Aubameyang unfortunately can't win a header. Because that's not his game. So, look, for me, that's all on Socrates. That it's just really, really bad. But someone of his experience should just know there, just clear your lines. Just put it, even if you have to put it out for a fucking corner, I don't care. Just have a bit of common sense.
Well, we'll get to centre-backs with experience and knowing better when we get to the second goal. But let's go through the rest of the second half. Danny, we saw Joe Willock come on for Ceballos in 59th minute. How do you feel about that substitution and those personnel at that point in the game, where, you know, Watford were on top of us and we really needed to get control of the game again?
Confused, because we saw the game that Ceballos had. What was that game? It was absolutely magnificent. It was it Newcastle or was it Burnley?
Burnley.
Ah, good. My thing's talking to me. Yeah, so we saw the game that if you utilise him properly, playing him behind the front two or three, whichever however many you're going to play out there, and then you play him in that position, you let him drop back into midfield, get the ball, do the runs, and then the next game he's playing out on the wide on the left of central midfield. Then he's playing on the right of central midfield, and this game Ozil's playing in his position, and you've got to think, well, he's compounded the fact that Ceballos is brilliant by the performances he had for Spain in the last international break, and you'd be thinking, well, Ozil, you shouldn't really bring a player back to start a game away from home like this. Maybe have Ozil on the bench. Play Ceballos behind those front two, because we've only two people to supply. Ceballos is going to be absolutely magnificent. But yet we've got Xhaka again starting in the central midfield. We've got Torreira on the bench. We've got Guendouzi having to run to the centre-back, run out to the right, then run around covering every other position. You've got Maitland-Niles, who had a bit of a nightmare apart from the assist for that goal. Kolasinac was leaving massive big holes on the left-hand side when he was making a run down there, because we had no left winger. And you're thinking, who decided this is what you're going to do? If you went, oh, well, I'd like to speak to the players now and go, Guendouzi, what was your job doing that game? And he'd go, oh, I'm not sure. Xhaka, what was yours? Kick people. Ozil, what was yours? I think I was playing. No, maybe I was playing deep. No, but at some point in the second half, we had Aubameyang. Aubameyang was right back when near the centre backs getting the ball off of them. Not like in a Sanchez way, when Sanchez used to get so frustrated and not being given the ball, he'd run down to the goalkeeper, get the ball off him, run the length of the pitch, and then score a goal. Aubameyang wasn't doing that, and I was thinking, why is he making Aubameyang drop so deep? He obviously, like you were saying, John, you can't blame Leno for doing that thing to Luiz and Socrates, because he's been told to do that, and we saw at the beginning of last season that Emery had told Cech to do that, and that's what ended Cech's career. Those first four games of that season must have given him a bloody melon strike, like streak like one of yours, John, with the amount of stress that he was under. And you're thinking, who's making up these decisions? Because you've got that entire central midfield of four players, and at no point did you go, well, this is your defined job. They were all milling around all over the place, and it is so confusing. And poor old Harry Seemu from Chronicles of Aguna has said since the first few games of last season, he doesn't think he knows that Emery knows what he's doing when it comes to the formation. And I thought, oh, I'll just give him his first season. And this season's even worse. So many players are playing where you're going, oh, what is your job? And I think most of them just must be looking at Emery going, what's it I'm doing again? Because I've got no idea. And it shows. Completely lost, Josh.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have got that kind of problem. With
what would you do to sort it out?
Formation.
Who, what would be your midfield four? Because being the host, you don't get to answer questions. So I'm grilling you, boy. I'm grilling you good.
I wouldn't have had four in midfield. I'd have played a 4-3-3. Pepe looked awful in that first half. And to be fair, he didn't even look interested until Nelson came on and he was finally allowed to go out on that right wing. Mm. And then we started seeing something from him. And as John was saying, that when you've got a player who looks like he needs confidence, he needs that goal, you know, under his belt, he's got a massive fee behind him, at least give him a fighting chance and play him in his correct position, because he's played as a striker before in his career, and he's been, to use one of Jason's words, dog shit in that position. And yeah, I thought us playing Mesut Ozil and then having to play him in a 10 caused this kind of ripple effect across the side. And it could be, you're looking at it, you're either going, that's either on Emery, because, you know, it doesn't matter that if we're going to play Mesut Ozil, fine. Not got necessarily a problem with that, but don't completely destroy the team around it to then fit him into your side. And he should have played on the left, really. But then I would have preferred... Sorry, Danny.
No, I was going to say, at least we've seen what learned one thing from this game. Pepe can't play up front in a two like Aubameyang and Lacazette. That should never happen
absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely. It happened against Liverpool, didn't it? And it was awful there.
Yeah, because Lacazette was on the bench because he had that knock, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I get kind of just annoyed generally with the whole situation. I don't want to go all in on Ozil for the performance, because he clearly did some things on the pitch.
Yeah.
The fact is, not
the season. He can't be. Yeah. Even I am an Ozil denier, and I wouldn't moan about him today. I think he was all right. He was the least of our problems.
Yeah. I think a stronger manager puts him in a different position and then doesn't ruin the rest of the side by trying to put him in to the side. But John, we saw Torreira come on for Guendouzi. Guendouzi then showing the 2-1 symbol to the Watford fans as they jeered him off. That didn't come to bite him back on the arse, did it?
No, Matteo didn't have the best game ever, which is disappointing because, what was the game before the international break? I'm trying to remember now.
Is it Liverpool or Spurs?
It was Spurs. And he was probably one of our best players on the pitch that day. And I think he's actually had a really good start to the season. You kind of give him a free ride a little bit because of his age and stuff. And I genuinely do think there is an issue that our midfield doesn't know what it's doing and what positions and stuff it's playing. He made some really bad mistakes today. I get bringing Torreira on, try and shore it up a little bit. You need a little bit more combativeness in midfield. I don't think Watford were dirty or anything, but they've just got very big physical players. I mean, you look at the size of Decore and Kapoue, they're big old lumps who can and get about the pitch really well. The issue again comes to, do the players know what they're doing and who's helping who? I mean, he came on and it looked like his entire job was help Maitland-Niles deal with Deulofeu. The fact that hasn't already been sorted out in some way or another at half time is the bigger issue. And the fact that no one has even done anything in the first half, because Maitland-Niles is getting roasted. And it takes until that point in the game to bring someone on and say, okay, go and help Maitland-Niles. This is not working. It's not that the players can't necessarily do it. It's that they don't know what position they're supposed to be in and where they're supposed to be covering. So, yeah, I thought Torreira, to be fair, when he came on, he wasn't all that. I thought he was pretty poor, to be perfectly honest. And it's a weird thing to say that I thought probably our best midfielder today was Granit Xhaka. I know everyone knows I'm a big Xhaka fan and everything, but I actually thought he probably did the least wrong out of all of them.
That's a damn indictment. You did the least wrong. You're right.
Yeah, no, I thought he had a really solid game and he did, like, he made some good
time. People aren't going to give him that, are they?
No, of course not, because I don't like him. And that doesn't, you know, abdicate him of any of the faults he did, because he gave away some really stupid passes as well. But the whole setup was just wrong. And you could see it even from the start, even when we were 2-0 up and looked fairly comfortable, there were still big problems. You know, the amount of times that Watford got us, Marcus Hodges put in the chat, we've allowed 96 shots in the first 5 games this season. That is more than any team in the Premier League, Serie A, La Liga, League One and the Bundesliga.
And the Scottish fourth division.
Yeah. Now, that stat, look, you know, some people throw stats out there and some of them are just bollocks and you can twist them whatever way you want. That stat says to me, our midfield is not working. Because if your defence is properly placed, and I think for the majority of the time our defence has done okay, individual errors aside, which we'll get to. But if your midfield, there's just huge gaps in it that they can play through, you're just letting the forwards from the other team, whoever it is, whether it's Watford, Liverpool, it doesn't matter what level of ability they are, get in at goal and take shots at us. I mean, the amount of times what De La Feu nearly scored, like missing by a centimetre, from the exact same position over and over and over again, it's ridiculous. You know,
if they'd have had a man on the far post, the amount of times that the ball went past there, that if Troy Deeney would have been there, he'd have got six goals today.
Yeah, it was just tapping all day, wasn't it? Yeah. But it's just that midfield, some of the players aren't good enough. I think that's true. We need upgrades. But there is zero like connection or understanding between the defence and the midfield and the midfielders themselves in knowing what they're doing. The forwards are fine. They get it. They're going to score your goals. I have no worries about that at all. You know, we're going to create, we're going to get chances, we're going to score goals. The players are good enough. But in terms of the midfield working off the ball, they haven't got a fucking clue what they're doing. And you can blame the players as much as you like. And yes, they are at fault. And yes, they make individual errors. But it comes back to the manager. Because if the manager doesn't teach them and drill them properly and explain those roles and constantly changes the formation and the positions people are playing and what their job is, then it comes back to him. There was an article in the Telegraph, I think it was this week, about Alan Smith saying he'd heard rumours that players don't know what Emery wants from them. But they don't understand.
The fans.
Yeah, they don't understand what he's trying to get them to do. And they don't know what, which is for a man who, and this is, I think is a quote from Alan Smith's article, is for a man who spends hours and hours editing video himself about the opposition, you would think the one thing he would get right at least is that we would be disciplined and every single player would know their role. But they didn't have a clue today. It was like watching basketball for the last, 20 minutes of that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Josh, that bit in the second half where we were attacking down the left-hand side, we give the ball away to one of them, they give the ball away to us, and then we give the ball back to Xhaka, and then Xhaka just kicks it away and loses it. You're thinking, I expect a clown car to come on with, I don't know, some one of our Danielson coming on in a clown car.
It was absolutely mad at there. And
there you go. Look, sorry, just to interrupt quickly. It's got worse as the season's gone on. So it should be getting better because start of the season, players aren't quite fully fit. It takes a few games to get match fitness up. We conceded 9 shots against Newcastle, 18 against Burnley.
Mighty Burnley.
Do Burnley get 18 goals a season?
No.
Right. 25 shots against Liverpool, probably the best team in the league, if not one of the best in Europe right now. Today we conceded 31 shots against Watford.
31.
It's bottom of the table Watford.
Who scored 2 goals all season.
Embarrassing.
I think coming into that kind of thing about the midfield as well, John, we have the third substitution, which is Mesut Ozil off and Reece Nelson on. We can go into Reece Nelson's game, but let me just talk through the midfield that's then left on the pitch and the fact that all of our substitutions have been midfielders, which comes back onto your thing about Emery probably doesn't know what his best midfield is. But we end that game with the midfield of Willock, Torreira and Xhaka. And I'm trying to find a question here now for you. But yeah, is that the kind of... Does that just basically cement your point, really, that we lost all the control because we took all the controlling players off?
Yeah, I mean, look, people could have their problems with Xhaka, but he can at least keep the ball, and generally his passing is very good. Yes, he did, like Danny pointed out, that was a terrible pass he gave away. But if you look at his percentages and stuff, he's pretty neat and tidy with the ball. Torreira, I thought, came on, had a bad game. I don't know what's happened to him this season. Maybe he's not up to match sharpness yet. I'm not sure. He looks like he's regressed a little bit. But again, he's someone you expect to be tidy on the ball, Willock as well. But they're not really going to do a lot with it. But they should at least be able to keep it. If you take off Ceballos, who is a player who, you know, I think people have over-egged how good he is, to be fair. But he is a good player. But he can keep the ball. He can turn a man. He can win you a foul. He can take pressure off you. Guendouzi didn't have the best game ever, but again, he's a player who can generally can carry the ball some distance up the pitch, get you a bit higher up the pitch. Again, can win you a free kick. Doesn't happen. Ozil, he didn't have the greatest game ever. He got, you know, the second assist. I thought he was okay, but again, he's a player who can drag you up the pitch a little bit and at least keep the ball ticking over. We end up with 3 players who I know Willett wants to be more offensive, but in the position we're in at the time, we end up being so much on the back foot that he's caught out of position. So he's not really even in the midfield. So you're left with two in there. Xhaka, who can't run when they've got Ismail Assar and De La Feo already on the pitch, and Torreira, who just wasn't at it. How you're expected to keep the ball? At the point we concede the first goal, it should be kind of, right, let's try and calm things down, take the spin out of the game, slow it down a little bit, make it a little bit niggly if we need to, win some free kicks, just slow it all down, take out all the emphasis and the sort of enthusiasm the crowd has got and the Watford players have got, just break the game up as much as possible. And it just didn't work at all. And again, I look at the manager and I think he sees when there's a problem on the pitch, which is good, and I like that he tries to change it. The problem is he shouldn't have already made the problem with the selection he's made.
Yeah, that's a good point there. Danny, what did you reckon to Reece Nelson's kind of 20-minute cameo on the field for a man that was apparently, according to some of our fan base, ripping the Bundesliga a new one last season in Hoffenheim?
You're obsessed with that, aren't you?
I mean, I'm just putting it out there.
Just putting your thoughts out there. It was hard for him to come on because the whole team is so unbalanced. Now, you'd have thought that with him playing on the left-hand side when he did with Hoffenheim, which I think that's his best position, then with him coming out there, then Pepe would move out to the right-hand side. But then when we need a goal, I wasn't sure whether Emery wanted to go for, right, we're losing 2-1, let's... Because you could see the amount of time wasting going on. Our players could smell what Watford were cooking, and they knew something was going to happen. And so I think they... bringing on an attacking player like that. He'd really bought on Torreira, but then you kept seeing Torreira on the far right-hand corner thinking, well, what are you doing there? No, Torreira and Xhaka, you two stand in front of Luiz and Socrates and don't bloody move. Stay there, protect them. But they don't. They're all over the bloody shop. And then you're thinking, I don't know why he's brought on Willock and Nelson, because they're both more attacking kind of players. And when you take off Guendouzi, who is a player who can get on everyone's nerves, go and get the ball off them, rob them, and leave in Ozil, who is his first game back, as I've said 100 times, why would you take off Guendouzi and leave on Ozil? I mean, there's so many other players. Ceballos didn't do anything in that game apart from run around looking angry, annoyed. When Ceballos went off, he got a slap on the arse from Emery, which I think that's a little bit weird, a grown man slapping another grown man on the arse. So he went off, and I thought, there's so many wrong substitutions going on here. Either we're going to go all out defence, maybe bring on Chambers, who can sit in front of the Socrates and Luiz, or even join in with those at 2-1, because Emery, you could see that Watford were on one, that with De La Feo running that game, he was by far man of the match. I know Aubameyang got a couple of goals, but De La Feo was magnificent. You can see now why he was Everton's best player, then went to Barcelona, and then they loaned him out again, and how he's at Watford. Sometimes you see players like that, maybe big fish in a little pond. That's the right one. But he was magnificent. We were every time he got the ball, you were thinking, oh no, here we go. Another one flying across the front of goal. If they'd have had a decent, I don't even think Gray's a striker, is it? Is Gray a midfielder?
No, Gray's a striker for
is
them.
He? Yeah. Andre Gray. Oh, anyway. Yeah, if they'd have had someone decent up front, that game could have ended 8-2 to them. I know they're going to have changed the trajectory of time once that one goal would have been scored. But you do think, well, in this situation, you don't want to bring on two players that are probably having their first full season as first team players. You're not doing anybody any kind of favours. And when they did come on, they were all over the place. The number of times that the both of them would run at goal and then someone would go, thank you very much, young man. I'll have that ball. Be on your way. And then they Watford to get the ball and run away with it, which is the point I think you were making.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I thought Reece Nelson looked a little bit lightweight in that game. There were some big old chaps. Yeah, there were some big old chaps out on that field, and I think it surprised him that he wasn't getting the fouls that you'd get on the continent.
Yeah. I think that's why I said at the start that although I was disappointed Willett didn't start, because I would have liked to see him in a midfield with Ceballos and Guendouzi. I think that's one thing Emery did get right, because even when Willett came on, he had that one good run, but you could see that the size of the Watford players, they were overpowering them so much. And again, for those two kids, we're not going to write them off because of that 20, 30 minute performance or whatever. They've got a very, very long career ahead of them. And if anything, bringing them on today was a big ask. So I don't think it's any of us knocking them or anything. It just shows that the problems we've got with the squad and with Emery's initial selection, that those were his only go-tos off the bench.
Yeah. Should we go to another player that a team did write off and sold us for £8 million and go to the penalty?
Go on then.
So apparently that's his second penalty he's given away in four games for Arsenal. He only gave away three in his entire Chelsea career.
Now, some people really don't like David Luiz. I happen to like him a lot. I think he's very good. He's fun to watch. He's a little bit nuts, and yes, he will cause you problems. But I like the fact that he can score a mental free kick, and I like the fact that he can ping a ball 8 yards straight onto someone's foot. It's amazing. And also, he's got wonderful hair. however, there's a reason, if you look at that, like Josh just said about the stats. He's given away two in four, but when he was at Chelsea, what was it, three ever?
Yeah,
that's because Chelsea had a proper midfield in front of him who defended him and did not let players run at him. Any centre-back who's going to get run at by a player with some skill, and granted, Pereira is not the greatest player in the world, but he can do little bits and pieces, it's going to cause problems. He did get his feet wrong, and he got his body position and shape and everything all wrong. But it was a penalty. I know some people said it was outside the box. If the foul continues into the box, then it's still a penalty by the rules. And I think they got that spot on, to be fair. I actually thought the referee had a perfectly fine game. I don't think he really did anything wrong. There was maybe the Holovas challenge like early on against Maitland-Niles he could have booked him for. But David Luiz is going to cause you those issues. But if you don't put a midfield in front of him, he's going to cover him. It doesn't matter who your centre-back is. Unless you're fucking Maldini, you're going to make those mistakes. And trust me, even Maldini, as great as he was, and he was amazing, even he gave away penalties. Two in four looks really bad, though, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it does. There's no talking about that, getting around it. Arian, thank you. We didn't forget you the first time. Sorry, Danny, you threw me off with what you said.
I agreed with you and said cheers.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Thank you very much. I didn't forget about you the first time. I wrote a note in our thing that said, shit, I forgot you, and then continued to forget you whilst looking at that comment. But, yeah, let's go to the proper basketball bit. should we just polish it off by saying Leno saves the game for us so we don't have to talk about it much anymore?
Shit, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, can I just say, I've never seen Doucouré pick a ball up, run, when, because we're just going to talk about that last chance, obviously, and then take some questions, because I'm fucking miserable about this game already. But when Doucouré's running through our completely non-existent midfield, so he gallops the, you know, 40 yards of empty space, and then gets to, I think it's Xhaka, I can't remember, but who is it out on the right? Is it Sarr, I think? Is it out on the right-hand side? I was just going to pass it to Sarr, and Sarr will just speed past us, because I made this joke and I shouldn't have done it because I thought I'd jinx us today. Thankfully, I hadn't. But I said, oh, remember that donkey Sarr who played for Rennes who can only run in a straight line? Said he was great. He's got no first touch. He's terrible. He's just really quick. That's all he's got. He's basically like, who's that geezer? Is it Promise? Promise is the same in the other one who was used to.
Traoré.
He's another one, yeah. Just run really quick. That's all he did. But Doucouré gets the ball, doesn't pass it to him, and checks back inside. I was like, what? Where does this come from? It's an amazing bit of skill from this massive man. This absolute giant of a man who must weigh about 20 stone, just like pure muscle. I have no idea he does it. And it, to be fair to Watford, really, really good move. Like, it's a great move, but Leno gets his positioning spot on, thankfully. And he made a couple of really good saves today that did save us out of it. And if anything, if I'm a Watford fan right now, I'm annoyed I didn't get 3 points out of that. Because they kind of helped us get the second goal in how bad they defended it. And second half, they were absolutely all fucking over us. And they could have won that game. So it's weird to go from 2-0 down to, I shouldn't feel happy with a point, but weirdly I am because we played so badly. I was so happy the football season started up again. Then the international break came and pissed me off. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, shit football now. And I'm like, okay, we've seen the results on the weekend. Playing Watford, great. They're in terrible trouble. They've got a decent team. Flores is a good manager, but it'll take them a while to get going. But 2-0 up, it's all cruising. And that fucking bollocks happens. And the two goals we conceded were so stupid. Like, idiot Socrates, idiot David Luiz. And the problem is, even if we hadn't been, you know, gifted those two goals, Watford probably should have scored 4 or 5 anyway. That's fucking shit.
Well, that's the end of the game. at that point. Quickly into the chat box, because we need to give you some love in so you can give us some love in. I see Catching the Rise in there now. Michael Callanan, Freddie Lucas. I haven't said hello to Thunder Road yet. Hello, Thunder Road. And Neil Vagala. We have got 300 of you in the chat box at the moment. I'm not going to go all through your lists because probably about 20 of them are Danny on various different other computers messing with the numbers. But you see, one's gone already. 68 likes is all we've got. Now, I know that's probably how many shots we're going to concede to Villa next weekend. If the trend is anything to go by.
Grealish scores, honestly. I'm going to go out and find the first person with a Brummie accent and murder them. I'm sorry. I don't even care if they're not a Villa fan. Jesus.
Oh, it's going to be like a Peaky Blinders thing that's going on at the moment. Like, imagine of all the cosplay choices you've got, you pick a Brummie. But anyway, if you could give us a like, it would be much appreciated. And then we can make a joke again on how many likes we've got and cross it over to the number of shots we concede in a match. And the higher, the better, because we've got to play Man City soon. And if you've got any questions as well, pop them in the box. And I think I'm going to hand it to Danny to do the asking of the questions. Danny's on mute.
Danny's on mute because he's a pro, you know. Now look.
I was coughing. I forgot to undo it after I finished coughing. I say coughing, it's more of a cough.
Hang on a minute. You've got a fancy microphone with a mute button. How comes we haven't got them?
Because this was 120 quid, but I got it on special offer for 80 quid.
All your donations, that's where it's gone, listeners.
Well, no, I sold one on my old one to Chris for 40 quid.
I'm telling you, selling me things as well.
Yeah, so this only really cost 40 quid because it was 80 quid. Anyway, yes. So I'm just looking through the questions because you put donations.
That's all right. I should go and apologise to Leon Davis as well and say, if you've got a Brummie accent, we feel sorry for you. I'm sure there's people you can speak to.
Also, if you tell me that you're an Arsenal fan before, then it's all right. Yep. I won't murder you. I'm not really going to murder anyone.
If he wouldn't say it here.
I just pre-warn you now, you know. No, I'm not going to say that either, actually.
Jason, no, I'm going to say something else instead to Kelly. I'm not going to be a Dom for you.
No.
Right, no, sorry, too polite.
From you to you, Josh, from Peter Coulson. When we have Holding, Pellerin and Tierney all fit, will it make any difference? Please tell me it will. I may have to throttle the cat.
I think our best defender was up in the stands from William Saliba being there. I hope so, because that's where most of my positivity is being angled into. Not having to have Maitland-Niles in there. I think it's more about not havings rather than players coming in and being happy about them. It's the fact that we don't have to play Maitland-Niles on the right, and we don't have to play Klasanić at left back. And for Jason, we don't have to play Socrates in the centre of defence. It's a bit of a damning state of affairs, really, that when new players are coming back, we're looking at the positives of the players that will now not be in the team rather than the good things that that player actually brings by coming into the side.
I agree with that. So, John, from Loki, was Ozil play today at Watford just to set his North Point for the season? So he can put a little mark in his little app on his phone going, as far north as I'm going.
I mean, there is the famous thing, you know, the north is north of the Watford Gap. So he's become a true Londoner in that sense, that he doesn't like to go further than that. I don't know. I hope we see him more this season, because as much as I give him stick and he winds me up, he is a wonderful player when he wants to perform. It's like Josh said, I don't know how you have to build the team around him. And I think there's one too many players at the club right now who have to play in a certain position or formation. And I get the worrying feeling that maybe Emery will try and shoehorn him in when he shouldn't. And maybe it becomes a choice of, you know, if Pepe is playing, you have to play 4-3-3. Or something to that, you know, like with two actual wide men. If Ozil is playing, you have to play him as a 10, and then you have to decide, are you playing two up top or what the midfield is behind him to cover the fact that he's, you know, he will track back and stuff, but he's not going to do the best defensive work. So you might have to sacrifice one or the other, depending who's playing. But hopefully it goes on merit of, like, who's playing best. That's all I ever ask for. Is if you're playing well, cool, stay in the team. If you're not, then someone else comes in.
Can I just dispel a myth as well? The Watford gap isn't in Watford. It's further up the M1.
How dare you?
Sorry. Is that Southampton?
Yes. Right, a question from Dr. K Druid or DRK Druid. What is our best midfield? We'll all have a go at this. I would say we're playing four at the back with a goalkeeper and three up front. That leaves three slots in midfield. Taraya playing right behind, ahead of the two centre-backs. Ceballos being the one who gets the ball and feeds it to the people who score the goals. And then we can have Guendouzi bzzz, like a wasp around the central midfield. Josh?
I completely agree with you. That was going to be my group. No, I would get Aaron Ramsey back, and we'll play Aaron Ramsey in all three positions.
Well, that's the problem we had last season. When Aaron Ramsey played, he could play all the way through the midfield, get the ball, give assists, get goals. Ozil can't do that. Ceballos can do that. Not exactly hard, is it, John?
Well, apparently...
You think not.
You think it's not hard, but look, I don't know. We don't see him in training, do we? So I don't know. It's odd. I don't get what he's trying to do with Torreira. He was bought off the back of his brilliant performances at Sampdoria, playing in a diamond formation, which we play today, but Torreira was at the base of the diamond. I don't get it, you know.
That's where he needs to be. Right. Thomas from Norway, question. Shocking lack of effort defensively. Well, that's more of a statement than a question, so I shall move on. Ariane stuffed two Canadian dollary dues down Josh's wide fronts, leather, obviously. And he says, if you and I, Emery, didn't make the Champions League, who would you appoint? We'll go to you, John. As long as you unmute yourself.
I was still thinking, shit.
Because your head makes a whirling noise when you think you didn't want to.
Yeah, it'll break.
Well, Allegri's not doing anything, is he? But he's boring.
Yeah, he's a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Even Juventus. I mean, I would have taken Conte before he went to Inter. No one would like it because it's really boring football. I love it because all it is people running around and kicking the shit out of people. So on that note, Simeone.
Oh, Jesus Christ! I'd rather give up football and start watching rugby, Josh.
You'll get to.
Before you get off that.
Yeah.
Go back and look at some of the goals Atletico score. They're fucking amazing.
Yeah, just one because they shut down.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. That was pretty good to win us the league twice under George Graham. What's wrong with doing it now? Jesus. Some people.
All you want.
Loads of goals. I want 10 goals every game. Look, we're not getting Guardiola. We haven't got that money. It's not going to happen.
True. Josh?
Good question. Who would I have? Maybe Nagelsmann, if we were going to go for another kind of dynasty manager, but I don't think they really exist anymore.
How about Tommy Tickles?
Oh, no, not Tommy Tickles. He just falls out with everybody now. Yeah. He's not a manager anymore. He just falls out with people.
Who's the Red Bull manager?
That's Nagelsmann. No.
He's just moved there, hasn't he, from Tottenham, was it?
Yeah. You could go...
In Favre, look at as well.
That's who I was thinking of at Dortmund. He's probably the one that I would go with. It's that or it's Chris Carpenter because...
Obviously, that's what we all want, really.
Nothing could be worse.
Right, next question is from our Josh. He says, Danny, would you like to ask questions? No, I wouldn't. Then Josh is going to tickle the chat box. Tickle, tickle, tickle. Right, a question here from Ariane Hidari. Sir Jonathan Welsh III, where do you stand on Emery currently and... who would you replace him with if you like him? That's kind of, we've already answered that question, haven't we?
Well, the stand on Emery thing, my position hasn't changed on him. He's always been an interim manager for me. He's never going to win the league. He'd never win the Champions League as a manager. I don't care what club you give him or what funds, he's not good enough. He might get Champions League football this year, but that's more down to the fact that Man United aren't exactly firing. I know Chelsea got a big win yesterday, but they're still going to be all over the place with their results.
Poor luck and judgment, that win, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think, if anything, the third and fourth are up for grabs. Probably the only other team that's sort of anywhere near kind of consistency with Liverpool and City. and I hate to say it, is, I'm not even going to say it, but you know what I mean. It's them. Yeah, it's them. So I think, you know, a Champions League spot is definitely possible, but no, we're never going to win any real trophies under him.
So here's a question, John. Would you get rid now or get rid midway through his contract or kind of see it to the summer?
Oh, imagine if we got rid of him now, the banter FC we'd become. Jenkinson as manager.
This is the last year on his contract, isn't it? And yes. Then we have an option for more. So it depends who's available. There's no point, you know, are you going to sack him and not get anyone else in? I don't know.
I mean, our chat box is really liking the idea of Jose Mourinho right now.
Some of them are.
Well, again, controversial. I quite like Jose because as an Inter fan, he won me the Champions League. I'm not going to lie, Samuel.
I agree.
Which is a very weird position for Samuel.
I love how he winds people up.
But I don't think the club. I don't think the club would do it, and I don't think the fans would take to it. The fans just hate him too much. It's never going to happen.
Well, he's waiting for something, isn't he? Because he's been offered plenty of jobs allegedly throughout the summer, and there's been plenty of big jobs in other countries that he's turned down. Inter Milan wanted him back, didn't they?
Yeah. So
the usual Chinese clubs would give all of their yen. Now that's Japan, isn't it?
The only other thing you could do is if the results, and look, it's very early in the season. No one's saying, I'm not saying sack him now. But if they continue to go on this sort of path of just like the midfield's still not working out, the defence is getting no help and it's midway through the season, if they can, say, line up someone for the summer coming in for the start of next year, then at that point, if it gets to January or whatever, I would honestly say, look, Emery, it's not happening. Just get rid of him and say to Freddie, look, you're taking over until the new manager comes in, and just let him run it.
We all knew that Emery was going to be a stepping stone between someone and the new manager that you kind of hoped. It was like after you split up with your girlfriend, after if your wife for 20 years, you go out and you have a little fiddle around with some other little tarts, don't you? No one ever thought that we'd end up marrying Emery. So it's just working out as we planned. He's made our crotch itch, and now we're going to have to move on to someone else a little bit easier.
I'll say big Phil Scolari is available as well. He got sacked this week.
Who was he manager of?
Palmeiras.
Oh, Palmeiras. Oh, he's one of them Brazilian managers where he's had a different job every other week and he's had about 70 jobs. So sometimes I kind of look at those. It's hilarious. Right, Josh, question for you from K-Man. How long before Edu appoints his manager of choice? And I'll add to that, or himself.
Oh, I think it's going to be a summer thing, to be honest, because it's just a case of, you know what? Actually, anything I say will jinx it. So if I say we can't finish lower than eighth, something like that. To be honest, I kind of still expect us to get to, you know, Europa League. We should be able to get to that final. I think that's the kind of dream we sold Pepe, was that kind of thing of, you know what, we've consistently got to the Europa League final in the last two seasons and we've been shit for both those seasons with one of the managers leaving in that season. We didn't make the final. We lost to Atletico. That was basically what we were going to do if we got
lost
to the
semi, lost in the final. Yeah. Logically, we should win the next time.
Exactly. So we should be able to get to the final again this season. Chance for a European trophy and then Champions League football, new manager, everyone will be happy.
I just see Jason's question. I'm going to save that for John. Marquis Hodges says, at what point would you consider sacking Emery? Personally, I wouldn't, because I don't want to become the kind of club that does that shit. John?
Like I just said, if the results... results won, but performances is the big thing for me. And the fact that we just show no improvement whatsoever... And it gets to around January, yeah, fuck him off. I know people don't like it, but sorry, it's modern football. Get on with it.
Yeah,
stop being yeah, da about everything.
Josh, in two words, can you sum up at what point you'd sack Emery?
I don't see the value of letting him go midway through his contract.
It's funny to talk about it, but I wouldn't do it. Right, this is a really good question, John. From someone called Jason Davies. I think he may be Spanish. Actually, he might be Greek, might be related to Sok Papi. He says, bearing in mind it was Emery's decision to let Rambo go for nothing, would Unai know a player if one fucked him?
Tasty. He liked Guendouzi. He already knew about him and wanted to bring him in at PSG, I think, when he was there. So clearly knows something about players. I don't think he's a terrible manager. I think he got given a shit job with a squad that was sort of all over the place. But I think he causes a lot of his own problems. And yes, Jason, we're all very sad that Ramsey's gone.
Has he gone? I've noticed.
Yeah.
I was watching Juventus at the weekend and they were dog shit. They didn't even bring him on. I don't think he was on the bench. When you've got Ronaldo, really, Ramsey injured, that's a fucking curse. Welcome, Juve fans. For the 5 games a season, he's fit. I can only sell it because Jace isn't here and he's not on the podcast in the week, so fuck him. Josh from Neil Vergela, he says, thoughts on why Chambers should play before Socrates or Luiz?
I would start Chambers in before.
Papi. Can't, because he said, didn't he have 2 games at the start of the season and played really well?
Oh, yeah, sorry. No, he played well in our defence, so we can't play him for the rest of the season. I would expect to see him play midweek, start of the Europa League coming back. Maybe we see Bobby coming back in as well, get them together, and eventually hopefully see them displace the other two. That would be nice.
Okay, we've got a question here from Rise EBJ, who says, I'm a Man United supporter. Do you think Man United are playing better than Arsenal, or shall I sack Emery, John? You put it in there, you answer it.
Hello, Man United fans. We do welcome fans of other clubs.
You can do whatever you want in there. Just don't threaten to kill the manager. That's the only one we blocked.
Did we block him? Mostly.
I did. I blocked him. He's been a twat. He said I'm not going to say what he said, but it involved Emery and all his team no longer being with us.
Are we playing better than Man United? I think both clubs are playing about the same level, to be fair. They have really good spells in games and then just completely shit the bed and don't know what they're doing. And I think both fucking clubs have been run really poorly by the owners. I hate Man United, I'm not going to lie, but it's nice when you're up. If we're up there at the same time and you're up there, then it's nice because at least you're a proper club and you're not a fake one.
It's a little bit.
I think the worst thing is that we're both about equal in how well we're playing, but one of us has got a PE teacher in managing them, a Norwegian one, I should say, just to clarify.
I was going to say, I think what we've got is the substitute PE teacher, who probably is a history teacher, really, in Spanish or something.
Right, next question for you, Josh, from S_Cam. Do you think Emery is still the man to get us into the Champions League? Not necessarily win the Champions League. That'd be ridiculous.
Do you think Emery is still the man to get us into the Champions League?
If he ever was.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I say that with enough confidence?
No, you didn't.
To really buy it. I do think we could still get it. I mean, it's a new manager bounce, and we've always been fucked over by those. Always. Doesn't matter who our manager is. New manager bounce, and we're fucked. We don't seem to get a new manager bounce with us. Maybe because we've spent so long with the same manager beforehand that we don't get a new one anymore because they don't know how to cope with the new manager. But, yeah, I think he still is the man until the point that I think he isn't, and then I want him sacked immediately.
We've post haste. Right, question here from Cactus Jack 81, which is our mate Richard, who will be on the podcast this Tuesday. And he says, is there a worse team than Arsenal without the ball, John?
The Pirates? Okay, that was a cheap shot.
We gave away a lot of cheap shots today.
Yeah, that's true.
I know Chris is on Hollybobs.
I haven't seen all the Premier League games this season, but we do look shambolic without the ball. It's so bad. Again, it's just the midfield disconnect to the defence and just huge gaps everywhere. It's shocking. I really don't understand what it is. But we really might be up there as one of the worst teams without the ball, which is the big thing that everyone was like, when Arsene leaves, it was one of his faults that without the ball, you know, it wasn't great. And hopefully Emery comes in. He's very tactical and very down to details and stuff, and we were hoping that was going to be the big difference, and we haven't seen it.
Because he has a dossier on every single player and where their best positions are. I think some of those, he's put them on a slide projector and put them in upside down, because some of those players in the midfield are not playing in the right place. Right, Josh, a question here from Sahal Ibrahim. He says, what do we need in January to improve in terms of signings? And he should have put in brackets, possibly a manager. I don't want to get rid of Emery at all. I'm just saying that, but there seems to be a lot of people with jerky knees.
you're just tickling those fans out there. I would say I'd like a new left back. I'd like a cover.
We've got one of them.
Yeah, but I need to replace the other one that I don't like. And I would like a new right back to cover Hector. I think we have learned a lot from the Maitland-Niles experiment. I think it's still an experiment, and I think we still know he's not a right back. But it's a needs must kind of thing at the moment. It would be good to get rid of some players. And what else do we actually need? I think someone on that left wing, really. Someone else to come in there. I know we've got Reece Nelson. I know he's come on and he's had one game and he's been bullied off the pitch. But I think, you know, when you look at those kind of teams that, you know, like the Bournemouths of this world and the Brightons, teams at that kind of area of the table, Southampton as well. Yeah, we did all right getting past Burnley and the like, but that's because we had Aubameyang out on the left. With Lacazette out, it's amazing how much our performance dropped because he was out. And I think having someone else on the left of a decent quality, because I don't think Nelson could play that position every week for us with Lacazette out, then yeah, and we're going to need to start rotating those forwards. So I think at the moment, a left winger, someone at left back, someone at right back, and why not, let's go for a full house. Probably another striker as well. It depends who we're going to play in Europa League.
Have you got carbon monoxide detectors in your flat there? Because I think there may be a leak and you're slightly hallucinating. You've just listed about five or six players that we're going to get none of. You need to behave yourself. Open a window.
Sorry. I can see it. It's not on. That's awkward. Probably. Yes. So, yeah, probably a striker.
Oh, dear. I think it's going to make up... all right, John, here you go. One from Mike Mayank, who he says we can call him Mike. He says, who plays up front in the Europa League? Because our next run of games, people, we're away at Eintracht Frankfurt. Good luck getting a result there. They're very, very good. And we're at home to Villa and they're at home to Forest in the League Cup. So this is a chance for the players who came on today to possibly get a run of a few games, a few games of lots of minutes.
I would expect to see Martinelli. I don't know if he'll play through the middle. You can't. The thing is, we've got that run of games. Obviously, with the League Cup game coming up, that's when you can rest Aubameyang. But is Aubameyang going to play Thursday and the weekend as well? He might start. I could see Martinelli starting wide and then maybe moving to the middle and taking Aubameyang off after like 50 minutes. Which means you might see Nelson, maybe Saka. Pepe might start that game as well, but actually in a wide position because, well, I mean, Eintracht's going to actually be a really tough game. I think people might take him a little bit for granted. Well,
at home this season, they've won both their home league games and lost both their away league games.
Yeah, they're a decent side. So you should really be going out with a pretty strong side. But I would like to see, you know, one of like Martinelli or Nelson or someone like that maybe start the game just to rotate a little bit because you can't burn out Aubameyang too much. But yeah, that would be it.
I think that is all the questions that are in there. Josh, you've been going for an hour and 12 minutes.
Yep. And John said he wanted to do an hour because he's pissed off.
Yep.
And we've gone over that. So you've pissed me off even more. Thank you.
And I've only got 92 likes. And I feel like we should have 100. We've got 4 dislikes as well. But you know what? I'm going to get one given.
They're all for David Luiz. It's nothing to do with us.
They're all for Jason because he's not here. They all want Jason. If you all want Jason on the next show.
We're four likes off total from being at 100.
We are.
93. Come on, 93.
Go on. There's 259 of you. If you all click the like button on your way out when we leave, we'll be sorted.
Also, it'd be really cool if you hit the subscribe button and hit the little bell icon, and then you don't have to look at Danny's terrible tweets to see when we're live because it will just pop up on your phone or your computer or whatever, and it'll say, Backup One Learn is now live. And there you go. Isn't that magic? Technology is wonderful. I fucking hate Watford. Did I say that? I really do not like them. Ugh. And what was that bollocks with the fucking that twat Correa? Jesus.
Ah, all of them. And Troy Deeney as well. At least he wasn't in the studio talking bollocks.
Standing there drinking tea like an old woman.
Graham Souness instead to do that for us. Well, let's wrap this shit up. I say we lost 2-2. It feels like a fucking loss. I just to say thank you to everyone in the chat box. Thank you very much to Danny. and John for joining us.
Thank you.
For what, as I say, feels like a 2-2 defeat. And thank you especially to J-Rob, Michael Hanneman, Daniel Kupka, Blair Slater, and Arian Hadari times 2 for your donations. We've been a Burkamp Wonderland. And oh, before Jason kills me, also got to mention Ed Lau has put out a video. Oh, no, sorry, to annoy Danny, he has dropped a video.
Don't fucking say dropped, you shit.
He's dropped a video talking about the mental health walk that occurred in the Palace game last year. It's a really great cause, even though Palace fans are cunts, all of them, and the stadium shit.
You're not allowed to call them that. You've got to call them Nigels. Come on.
Sorry. yeah. So that's happening again as well after whenever the next time we play Palace. They play us away. So whenever we're playing them at home, I don't know. Look it all up. We'll tweet shit.
Jason, and it'll probably be me, if not someone else, is going to jump on again. And we're going to do another special about mental health and the walk, and just obviously anything you guys can do, whether it's retweeting or, you know, just liking a tweet or something like that, it just gets the message out there for more people and really helps. And we've had some really nice messages from people, from listeners, not just Arsenal fans, from listeners, from fans of other clubs and stuff, who said they've seen the walk and it's got them to go and talk to people, whether it's a doctor or a friend or family or whatever. And it's really helped them out. And it's nice to know that there's people out there thinking about them and any struggles they're getting, you know, dealing with in their lives. So it's all for a good cause. Doesn't cost you any money or anything, but just helps us and helps them out promoting it and getting the message out there.
And this week's podcast, Josh, is on Tuesday with Carl Choo Choo Thingy Bob. Can't remember his surname. Walker. There you go. And it's with Mr. Gunaholic and Richard, who is this bloke here in the chat. He will be on the show as well. So that'll be this Tuesday. It's going to be live on YouTube, like most of our podcasts are now, roughly about 7:30, 7:45. And it will go for about an hour and a half because Holick is there. And he gets thirsty if we go on for too long.
Yes. So that only leaves me to say we've made it to 111. Thank you very much for everybody who left and then gave us a like. You can hear this if you ever want to re-listen to a show you've just watched. Danny, turn this shit off.
Oh, you should have given me more warnings. Now I have to talk until I press the button. John, say something funny.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Splendid business.